And we're back here with the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Thanks so much for being with us today. This is Nathan Ruggles here with you. We'd like to recognize a couple of the organizations to give us support. That includes AFGE as well as PSEA. Just two of the unions that keep us on the air and keep the lights on here at the Union Edge. So, healthcare, the sector, it's one of the most important sources of jobs in the economy. And the Center for Economic and Policy Research has been doing, some research on the topic in terms of what's going on in terms of jobs and what's going on with healthcare workers in the healthcare sector. So we have on the line with us a senior economist at CEPR, Eileen Applebaum, to talk to us about it. Eileen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So Eileen, I understand that there's a few, you've done a lot of work here, obviously, but there's some really key takeaways that you've discovered with this research in terms of wage inequality within employment in hospitals in the healthcare sector.
Yes, so there's a huge disconnect between the tremendous growth in employment in the healthcare sector, and especially in outpatient care facilities, urgent care, surgery centers, all of the kind of clinics that people are going to these days, tremendous growth in employment, but wages have either stagnated or declined, which is really unusual. We're looking over a 10-year period, and to see that happening has really been discouraging. So there's two things that are happening. One is that unions have managed to maintain reasonable density among professional workers, mainly RNs, and as a result, their wages have increased very slightly, but at least they're holding their own and going up a little bit. For the non-professional workforce, the unions have managed to maintain their numbers. They haven't lost membership, but there's been such rapid growth in areas like medical technicians and health aides and assistants that they have not been able to maintain density. And this is particularly true in the new outpatient care facilities. So jobs are moving out of hospitals into urgent care, into surgery centers. And for the non-professional workers, it's been really difficult to maintain union density, the rate of organization. And the result is that those wages have actually fallen. In outpatient care, wages over a 10-year period fell by almost 6%, despite the fact that employment grew by 60%. Really rapid growth in employment.
Oh, that's incredible growth, isn't it?
It is incredible. And then to see the decline in wages. We are able to show in our work that it is not the usual things that you might suspect. People in this industry, workers in this industry, have increased their educational level over the last 10 years. Many more people have post-secondary training, have a college degree. Many fewer people, even in things like food service and cleaning, have only a high school degree or less. The numbers of low-educated workers are declining. The number of better-educated workers are increasing, and still wages are falling.
We're not seeing, you would think with higher education you'd see a wage increase, but we're not seeing it, huh?
That's exactly right. They told us, if workers would just get another
That's
year
right.
of education. Well, I am here to tell you that in healthcare they did get another year of education. Some got much more than that, and still wages are not rising. So that's a problem. They try to tell us, older workers who make more money, they're retiring. The baby boomers are retiring. And the new younger workers that are just coming in, of course, they make less money. But in our data, what we find is people over the age of 55 are going nowhere. They're saying, put in the industry. And so as the workforce ages, we have more and more workers in that 55-plus group, and it's rising much more rapidly than new workers coming in younger age cohorts. So it's not ages. So
the average age is going up, even though you have all these,
even though you have
all these workers coming in.
Yeah, and you would expect that. I mean, with more experience, you expect wages to rise. So experience doesn't tell the story. Education doesn't tell the story. The story seems to be The decline in union density among non-professional workers is one part of it. And the other is all this consolidation that's going on in healthcare. You might have noticed it. I've heard about it, sure.
Yeah.
I come from a city that used to have many, many healthcare systems and is now dominated by four big systems that have bought up all the other hospitals. When that happens, they have the ability to raise prices, but they also have the ability to hold down wages. So kind of like the Walmart effect, you know, you have a big employer who's not going to pay anymore. Well, you have a bunch of, you know, a small number of healthcare employers, and they all agree they're not going to pay anymore, then really it's very difficult for workers to bargain for higher wages, especially with the decline in density. So it's that kind of thing that we're seeing that we think is contributing to increasing inequality in this industry.
Well, so fewer, more powerful companies.
That's exactly right, employers.
And this is the same across both nonprofit and for-profit?
So we don't actually have that distinction. We have all we're not able to make that distinction in this research. We have all hospitals, we have all outpatient care centers, and we're able to look across. We can look by gender, we can look by race, by education, by age, by all of those dimensions. And so you have two kinds of inequality. You have inequality growing between professional and non-professional workers. One has wages going up slightly, the other has wages falling, and between hospitals and outpatient care centers.
Well, and that certainly doesn't help in terms of a workplace where you have a growing disparity within the workplace.
Right.
And you know, this is certainly another example for anyone who says, well, what are unions doing? How do they really affect? It seems clear by what you're saying from this research that we have this clear difference where we have higher union density, you're able to at least maintain wages, and where that density or where you have a smaller percentage of the workers are unionized, you have these falling wages. Now, in terms of the explanation, we're seeing this in the larger economy, though, right? This very odd phenomenon where you have we know we've had wage stagnation since the 1980s, right?
Right.
But it's even continuing on despite this, you know, supposedly growing economy.
Yeah, the recent recovery.
Right?
Yes, indeed. There's been a little uptick. We shouldn't ignore that. But the little uptick has gotten people back to where they were long ago. We've had 30 years of declining, and now we have a little uptick. It is true in general that if employment growth is good, workers do see at least a little boost to their wages. That's why it's so unusual in an industry that grew. Employment grew in healthcare right through the financial crisis every single month. And
I remember hearing that. It's like one of the few jobs that through there people said, well, you become a nurse, you can, you know,
work in these
professional positions. Those are where the jobs are despite this chaos going on in the economy.
Right.
Yet they aren't paying them more.
Sure. And the Affordable Care Act helped a lot, too. Don't forget, as many more people got insurance, we needed many more workers to provide care. And so it's had a major effect on employment, and people are now worried that all the attacks on the Affordable Care Act may begin to be seen in the employment growth. It hasn't happened yet, but that is certainly a concern.
Well, and two, when we talk about the solution to this, so obviously really, you know, even more vigorous organizing within those non-professional positions, right, particularly in those outpatient centers and getting them organized.
But employers are making it very difficult. So we've looked at some union contracts for hospitals, and the union contract says that the contract will follow the work. So if the work moves out of the hospital to outpatient care, those workers should be in the union. But then somehow the hospitals have some fancy way of setting up the corporate structures so that even though the outpatient care center says, you know, XYZ hospital outpatient care center or urgent care center, no worker inside that urgent care center is on the payroll of the hospital, and that's how they get around the union contract. So something has to be done about that as well.
Well, when it comes to time to renew those contracts and do some negotiation, then it's going to have to be make sure to plug the holes in those contracts.
That's right. That's what they will be doing. But it's a very difficult situation because the urgent care centers are fairly small. So if you have to organize them one at a time, that's hugely resource intensive. We need to get to what they have in other countries where you have a union bargain between the union and major employers, and then that just applies to everybody in that situation.
Well, obviously, you talked about how, you know, we have these fewer, more powerful organizations through consolidation has been made things difficult. But in one hand, like you just said, if you're able to negotiate a contract over a large organization, that's going to have a big impact.
It would be huge. But in this country, we make the unions negotiate it establishment by establishment.
And in terms of we are coming to the end of our time, but looking forward, where do you see things going in the coming months and even years in terms of this industry at this point?
Well, I think that healthcare will continue to be a very large employer. I think we're going to have to solve the problem of what's happening to the Affordable Care Act. But this is the population is aging, and in addition, we have all kinds of new technologies that enable people to recover from things that used to kill them. So we need the healthcare industry. Employment needs to grow. We need to reward these jobs appropriately.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And as we're seeing now, in terms of finding more information about this report, getting more of the details, I think we probably only touched the surface of all the work you've done.
Yes,
where can people find out more information about this report?
They should just go to our website, www.ceper.net. It's right on the homepage.
Okay, and we can find more information about all the work that you specifically do there as well, I assume, right?
Exactly.
Okay, very good.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Eileen Applebaum, Senior Economist at CEPR, with us, the Center for Economic and Policy Research. This is Nathan Ruggles here with you on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.